All right, well, joining us now, we have the founder and president of Tour Edge, Mr. Dave Glaude. Dave, welcome into the golf shop.
Hi, great to be here.
You know, we had your we were out at your media day. I was. Mike wasn't. He didn't go down to the merchandise show this year. But you guys had some great new products. You gave us a great new 3-hybrid. You had some irons that I got the chance to hit and some new woods, man. Tell everybody just a little bit about some of the new offerings you have for 2016.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's really cool about the new offering is it's our longest hitting product ever. It doesn't matter whether it's the drivers, the fairways, or the hybrids, or even the irons. This stuff's all geared for distance, and we're really proud to introduce this line.
Well, I mean, to what do you attribute that the distance? I mean, when you guys sat down in R&D and said, okay, we want to make our products longer this year, how do you do that?
Oh, we've got a lot of bells and whistles going on. So let's take the EX9 driver. So this is Exotics, EX9, the driver. There's two types. A 460cc version. Let's go over that one. So what's really cool about this driver is it has the deepest center of gravity or highest MOI of any driver on the market. And that's due to very deep weighting, and it's also a heel side, if you will. The weight itself is towards the heel. So what that does is help you close the club face through impact and improve your speed through impact and hit draw shots versus slice shots. That's really just the first feature.
Wow. You know, and here's the thing. So I was on the launch monitor during your media day there, and I'm telling you, 2,000 RPMs was about the most that I actually got on the golf ball. So how do we get down to, like, you know, 1,800 or 1,900 RPMs on these things?
Well, you know, it's all science, and it's the ball, too. So as the ball evolves or changes, we have to change drivers, which is one of the reasons to buy new equipment, because your old equipment, the ball's changed, so it's going to spin too much no matter what, because all the ball companies are trying to do is reduce spin for more distance, too. So there's a happy medium of you need so much spin, and I like that number you threw out there, 1,800 to 2,000. That's a great number for mid to fast swingers. But a slower to mid swinger probably needs more like 2,500 RPMs. So they really do need a little more loft typically. And a deep center of gravity, which is what we achieve in our EX9 driver.
Yep. So when you start, let me ask the question this way. So when you start looking at R&D and developing, you know, the EX9 going from the EX8s, do you have to take into account this golf ball? And how quick can you turn these things around? I mean, it seems like these companies are always making these golf balls spin less off of the drivers,
right,
and spin more with, right, the wedges. How do you find the happy medium in between there? Do you ever run into the fact where, you know, maybe a long iron spins so little that it goes maybe way too far?
No, the race has been towards, yes, okay, we're developing this head, right? We know what we want in the head to make it better, because it always evolves based on the last model. So better meaning more forgiving, because the USGA has these rules for COR, or coefficient of restitution, for, you know, spring effect. So we want to make it more springy on the heel and toe, first and foremost. This new product, deeper center of gravity, really means not necessarily lower spin, but more forgiveness. So as far as tweaking at the final moment, it's all in the shafts. So we can really change things a lot by what shafts we offer. So that's kind of the final moment part of the equation, where the ball thing gets out of control. We can control things and dial them in with the shaft at the final moment.
Well, you mentioned the race, and there's certainly an arms race in the golf equipment manufacturing, and it's constant. What on earth made you think that you could go out and compete with the big boys? I mean, we love all of these innovative products coming out of smaller shops. But seriously, there had to be a moment when you were sitting, it may have included several drinks, and you said, hey, I don't need money like Callaway. I don't need money like Titleist. I don't need money like, you know, TaylorMade. I can do it better than them. What went into that thought process?
Well, you know, we're a 30-year-old company at this point, so we really have gained a lot of knowledge in R&D over the years. And that's where we put more of our income, if you will, rather than marketing. And we certainly do market. But, you know, not to the tune, obviously, as the larger companies. The other nice thing for us is we're smaller and more nimble, and we can also use smaller makers of our product so we can be really in there with a fine-tooth comb, making sure we're getting products that develop to the level that we expect. You know, versus the big companies, they're putting the same CAD design in four different shops, and whatever comes out, comes out. They need hundreds of thousands of pieces a month. It's a whole different approach.
Again, we're speaking with the founder and president of Toridge, Mr. Dave Glaude. And Dave, when we start talking about irons, you know, you've got a bunch of different offerings, you know, from pro type irons all the way down to more like, you know, probably for beginners. Kind of give me a feel for how iron development goes. I mean, we see cavity backs, we see tungsten in some of these. You know, everybody seems to be going to cavity backs, whether they're cast or forged. How has irons, maybe even in the last 5 years, what have we been able to do on irons to get more distance and different launch angles out of irons?
It's the same thing. It's that deep center of gravity and weighting and thinner faces due to being able to utilize new casting methods that are out there. It's always improving. So, for instance, you know, 5 years ago, the face thickness of an iron, you really couldn't make it below 3 millimeters thick in a casting. You could certainly if you used titanium or something like that as the face. But now we can make them under 2 millimeters. So just that fact that the casting has improved in the industry that much, and in multiple industries for that matter, but with exotics irons, now we can go below 2 millimeters, so we're getting a better spring effect on our irons as well as our woods.
And are we hitting it further because of all the technology, we've had to de-loft the clubs a little bit because they are sending the ball so high that we have to de-loft it a little bit to get the proper trajectory that you want out of the golf ball?
Yeah, I don't know if that's really the case. I mean, even at the show, I don't know if you noticed, I can't remember what the maker was, but there's a set of irons out there that has pitching wedge 1 and pitching wedge 2 in it. And I got a real kick out of that because it's all about, oh, God, what club did you hit? Oh, I hit 7-iron. No way. You know, how did you hit that 180-yard 7-iron? Well, yeah, the whole philosophy has kind of changed. So, really, it's been a distance game, and so that's how it's marketed. But the key thing you want to look at as far as if you get fit out there on TrackMan or something similar is you want a peak height of your iron shaft to be 100 feet in the air. If you can achieve that, that's optimal, and it's an easy thing to remember. So whether it's your 3-iron hybrid or your 7-iron or your wedge, you want to peak at 100 feet. And those products are the ones you want to look at.
Well, we're big advocates for having clubs fit properly to each individual player, but not everybody takes the time to do that or makes the investment. What about all these adjustments? You start looking at the different weights and you can shift the balance of the club. Is that within the grasp of the average player to go home and hit and figure out what to do on his own? Or do you absolutely have to have a club fit and adjusted to you?
Yeah, I say no way. You know, that's tinkering. Even at the highest level, moving that little bit of weight doesn't matter a whole lot. It's really about the club design from the beginning. And that's what we kind of pride ourselves in is no gimmicks. We're going to give you a club that, you know, was designed for you, whether you're a 80-mile-an-hour club head speed and a slicer or a 120-mile-an-hour super tour jock, you know, that wants to hit a fade. You can only develop the head so far. You can't make that head for those two guys. That's just impossible.
Right.
So that's my answer on that one.
Well, you know, going back 30 years, I have a selfish question as a left-handed player. What percentage of the business how has that expanded over the years? I mean, obviously, we were largely ignored 30 years ago. Now what percentage
you're,
of the business
still
has...
You're largely ignored, yeah.
I try and ignore them all the time, but it doesn't always work.
But what percentage of the business was once left-handed left-handed clubs, and how has it changed, and what percentage is now left-handed?
Gosh, you know, I really don't know the answer to that question. I just know that...
Oh, you can make it up.
We got to be real careful with you guys, you know? You're a different breed, but I think it's runs typically around 6%. I really don't know that it's changed that much. I mean, maybe it's got up to 8 or something like that.
Yeah, I just remember as a kid, it was very, very difficult in the 70s and 80s to pick up left-handed clubs. They were just much more rare, and now I see them more often, and we certainly see more players around us and on tour playing left-handed. So I was just curious if the market should have changed.
I forgot how old you were. That must have been.
Hey, these were Hello Kitty clubs. I was very young.
And if you go to PGA Tour superstores, they've got more lefties. I mean, they've got so many lefties you can't even believe it.
I know.
It's kind of a fun shot.
All right, Dave, before we let you go, I gotta go down one more path. You know, it seems like TaylorMade is kind of ruined it for everybody, in my estimation. I mean, they come out with all these clubs. It's like we were all just buying the M1s, then the M2s come out, and I swear I feel like, you know, I'm waiting for the M3 in, like, June and an M4 in, like, you know, October. Do you feel like you have to keep up with the Joneses, or do you just kind of go on your own schedule and release clubs when you feel like that you've got something else to offer somebody?
No, you know, we've definitely sped up. I don't know that it's necessarily – I think it's true in so many industries. So look at the car industry for one thing. I think it's more of the nature of society right now. But obviously, I believe some of the larger companies took it way to the nines. And they're certainly pedaling back the other direction. You'll see less price drops early this year and things like that. There'll be a lot more price integrity. And they have to. They wouldn't survive. So, you know – we've spent up to annual cycles on exotics, and Tour Edge typically remains 2, even 3 years, all the Tour Edge and Bazooka and Hot Launch product. But, you know, if we don't have new exotics every year, unfortunately, we don't get on the hot list because they only put new product on there. I think that things like that are important for us.
Mike?
Well, so I'm sorry. I was distracted looking through the website and all of the additional products you guys have, bags and all the stuff that you sell in complete sets for all different ages and abilities. But I'm curious, you know, where can everybody find these things? I mean, you know, Tour Edge, your website's amazing. But when you're talking about the retail space, where are you guys most, you know, where are you most located?
Well, pretty much any off-course store will carry Tour Edge. And there's a dealer locator on the website, touredge.com. So make sure you look there. And then, you know, beyond that, just give us a call at our 800 number or email us at touredge.com, and we'll set you up.
Well, I can assure you it's not a left-handed bag, but I bought one of your bags last year, and it is by far, and this is not a shameless, you know, promotion for you, by far the best bag I've ever carried and ever owned.
I love it. Good to hear. That's an exotic stand bag, right?
Yes, it's the Extreme 2 collection.
Excellent.
Yeah, great bag. I love the little cooler pack and all the, you know, it seems like it has all the pockets in the right place and all the pockets are the right size. You got one that's just for, you know, coins and ball markers, then you can find another one that's just perfect to put your bag of tees in. It's the best bag I've ever owned, and I've owned a lot of bags.
That's good to hear.
That's because he keeps throwing them in the ponds.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, man, we really appreciate you hopping on with us tonight. We look forward to more stuff out of Tour Edge and exotics in the future. And good luck in the marketplace, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much, guys.